As Brother Eddie Schwartz used to say, thank you, musicians. We appreciate that. Of course, everyone out here is a musician, too. It's your voice. It's your instrument. Did you know that? Okay. Well, happy first Sunday of 2024. Y'all used to say that yet? Just a question. As you reflect on last year, 2023, did everything work out good for you in every circumstance? Were there some things that happened that did not seem to be good at all? Perhaps sickness, change in a job, relationship situation, financial problems, car problems, housing need. Some years ago, Carol was working for a fabric company called Peace Goods. She did a lot while she was there, customer service, store decorator. During this time, she was actually part of a team that would go to open up new stores. We lived in Chester, and about an hour and a half away, Fredericksburg, there was a new store being opened, and she was to go there the next day to help with that team to get the new store situated and set up. Well, we were actually at Food Lion in Chester, I remember it well. We got her a few things that we were going to pick up, and we went out to start the car, and it wouldn't start. Make a long story short, it was a dead battery. Not too bad. There was an auto parts store pretty close by, so we got the battery and got the car fixed. And the next day, Carol was able to go out of town with no incident. You know, sometimes we don't recognize when things happen that they're good. Well, this we recognize right away, and we thank the Lord that the battery went dead right then. During the day, close to an auto parts store, Carol wasn't out of town by herself, so we're thankful that's happened when it did. It's not the case many times, is it? Well, the message today is entitled, All Things Work Together for Good. All Things Work Together for Good. It's a revised message from last time I gave on the same subject a little over 10 years ago. We know God's word is forever settled in heaven, and we're thankful for that. It changes not. We can be thankful for this, like I said. But our words, however, and messages at times, are subject to change. As I recently reconsidered Romans 8:28, I was led to reconsider and to share this message. Before I do that, one more song here. Raise this up. Hardest part's always getting started, isn't it? I'd like to do a song that I believe the writer of this song had Romans 8:28 in mind. It's actually entitled, Trust His Heart.
All things work for our good, so sometimes we don't see how they could. Struggles that break our hearts in two sometimes blind us to the truth. Our Father knows what's best for us. His ways are not our own. So when your pathway grows dim and you just can't see Him, remember you're never alone. God is too wise to be mistaken. God is too good to be unkind. So when you don't understand, when you don't see His plan, when you can't trace His hand, trust His heart. He sees a master plan. He holds a future in His hand. So don't live as though those who have no hope, all our hope is found in Him. We see the present clearly. He sees the first and the last. And like a tapestry, He's weaving you and me. So someday be just like Him. God is too wise to be mistaken. God is too good to be unkind. So when you don't understand, when you don't see His plan, when you can't trace His hand, trust His arm. So when you don't understand, when you don't see His plan, when you can't trace His hand, trust His arm. Trust His arm. Trust His arm.
Trust His heart. God truly knows what is best for us, doesn't He? We need to trust His heart in all things. We read that man's heart is desperately wicked, but God's heart is holy, pure, righteous, loving. We can trust Him in whatever comes our way, know that it is for our good. Or perhaps for the good of those around us. Again, all things work together for good. And Romans 8:28 says this, read it before, but all, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. That's in the New King James Version. Consider this verse for a minute. We know. Are we confident in this? Do we have faith in God's plan? We know that all things, do we believe this in every circumstance? Sometimes, like the battery, dead battery, it's easy to see that was for our good, but many times we don't see that. For good, do we believe it's for our good, or again, for the good of others? Then it says, for those who love God. And first, I could ask, are you a child of God, or anyone hearing this message today? Turn to Romans 8. Just look up a few scriptures today, but I think some are, it's good to see it in God's word as we consider. Romans 8, verse 14 and 15. Romans 8, 14 and 15. For as many are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. It's been mentioned before, but Abba is that enduring term that Hebrew children calls their daddy. Abba, or Father, and Daddy. Do you call Him Father? Do you love Him? Again, Romans 8:28 says, for those who love God. That word love is the highest form in the Greek language. Agape, or agapeo, speaks of self-sacrifice. And we could be reminded that Christ loved us and gave Himself for us. And we gather each first day of the week to remember Him and His loving sacrifice. We say we love Him because He first loved us and gave Himself for us. That word good next means profitable or useful, beneficial in its effect. When we think of good, we can think of the good news, the gospel, and how that we need to be convicted of our sin before we can be converted or saved. The gospel, in a nutshell, of course, is 1 Corinthians 15:3-4. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried and rose again the third day according to the scriptures. The good news. Being convicted of our sin does work for our good if we truly believe and receive Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. And I pray that all hearing this message, either today or in the future, have put their faith and trust in the one to know is to have life eternal. Well, then we have all things, and it's been said this, all means all, and that's all means. So it's pretty clear there. What about accidents? About car accidents, other personal accidents, accidents in the workplace or at home? Well, consider this. Let me tell you about a car accident I had some time ago. It was a dark and stormy night. Well, actually, it was a bright and sunny morning. We were having a prayer, morning prayer meeting here at the chapel. How many brothers remember having those? At the time, I think we had 10 or 12 brothers. I'm sorry, Charles isn't here. I was going to brag on him. He used to make breakfast, eggs and bacon. It was a good time to get together, not just for the food. But we were having a morning prayer meeting, and after the prayer meeting, I left the parking lot. I turned left onto Lux Lane, and bam. I had run into the back of Sam Chopadave's car. Danny, remember that? Remember I said it was a bright and sunny morning? Well, the sun had blinded my vision. Needless to say, it was a very humbling experience. You know, we tend to think that we're accomplished in different areas of life, and I consider myself to be a good driver. In 40 years of driving, I had never caused an accident. Well, I had just caused an accident. Again, a humbling experience. I was very thankful there was no injury and minor damage to our cars. Let me just say, Sam was very forgiving. Sam's father, Anil, was as well, as he was in the car with Sam at the time. All things work together for good, with a question mark. Well, through this, the Lord was speaking to me about humility, thankfulness, and forgiveness. And as the day went on, I thought about what had happened and perhaps why it had happened. I mean, I was leaving a prayer meeting. So why an accident? And why with my brothers in Christ I had just been praying with? Well, I believe the good thing that came about was this message that God laid in my heart then and again recently. So as we continue, a few thoughts of spiritual applications to my life and to other believers' lives concerning humility, thankfulness, forgiveness, complacency or being comfortable, faith, and patience. We'll discuss these briefly as I continue. First, we have humility. Sometimes God humbles us by using people and things of this world to get our attention. Got my attention that morning. It's to keep us being prideful. Turn to Philippians 2. Think of humility, I think of this verse. What an example of humility. Philippians 2, verses 5 through 8. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself, or emptied himself, of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. If the Creator of the universe humbled himself to demonstrate his love for us, shouldn't we follow his example and live humble, obedient lives out of love for him? Humility in our relationships with other believers. Humility in our service for the Lord, being humble in our approach to God. In our relationships, we're to consider others more highly than ourselves. We read that in Philippians 2:3, which says, "Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself." We are to serve our Lord with humble hearts, not for self-gain, but for God's gain, to accomplish his purpose in our lives. And we can think of our humble approach to God. Think of prayer. Hebrews 4:16 tells us, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace." We approach God not on our own merits or pride, but humbly, having a confident assurance. That's what that word boldly means, that God will hear and answer our prayers. God likes the humble and rewards humility. Turn to Luke 14:11. And this is the Lord Jesus Christ speaking, "For whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." And then turn to James 4:10. James 4, chapter 4, verse 10. Again, it's the same thought that we just read. "Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up." Proverbs 3:34 says this, "God gives grace to the humble." So we need to seek to be humble in our approach to others and to our Lord. And we have thankfulness. Turn to Ephesians 5:20. Ephesians 5:20 says this, "Giving thanks always for all things to God, the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." Again, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, we need to be thankful for our salvation, certainly, first and foremost, for our chance to serve the Lord, for a measure of health he's given us, for our families, both physical and spiritual, for our homes, food, clothing, jobs, so much more. After I was saved in April of 1977, Carol and I left full-time work in music, not really knowing what we were going to do, but depending on the Lord to provide. I went back to school and obtained a management degree and was able to work consistently for over 40 years. I guess I officially retired about a year ago. We can be thankful for our physical blessings, can't we? But truly more thankful for our spiritual blessings, what we have in through the Lord Jesus Christ. If you want to write these down and read them later, but Ephesians 1:3 tells us that we've been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, Ephesians 1:3. Philippians 3:20, we've been blessed with a citizenship that is in heaven, Philippians 3:20. Hebrews 4:14, we have a high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, is in heaven. Hebrews 4:14. Colossians 1:5 says, "Our hope is laid up in heaven," and it's truly a hope that won't disappoint. Colossians 1:5, and then 1 Peter 1:4 says, "Our inheritance is in heaven." 1 Peter 1:4. In fact, Scripture tells us that the Holy Spirit, which indwells every born-again believer, is just our earnest or down payment of our wonderful inheritance. In Matthew 6, 19 through 20, our Lord shared in his Sermon on the Mount about not to lay up treasures in heaven, or to lay up treasures in heaven, not in earth. We can be thankful for the treasure which is laid up in heaven on our behalf. And again, our greatest gift and treasure is salvation. Ephesians 1:14 says this: we have been given the Holy Spirit as a down payment, as I mentioned earlier, the guarantee of our salvation. And one day, perhaps soon, we'll receive full redemption, salvation. We'll be saved from the very presence of sin and given glorified bodies. Given a treasure that moth and worm does not destroy, nor thief can steal. Revelation 19:8 says we'll be given fine linen, clean and white. Revelation 2:17 says we'll be given hidden manna. We also will be given a white stone. One described this as a glistening diamond with a new name written on it. Many other wonderful things God will reveal to us throughout eternity. So we truly be thankful for all that God has given us and is yet to give us. When we come to forgiveness, we can be most thankful for God's forgiveness offered through the Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians 1:7 says, in him, speaking of the Lord, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. As we have been forgiven, we are to forgive. Turn to Matthew 18. I shared this verse, a message recently on forgiveness, you might remember. I think with a new year upon us, it's always good to be reminded about what God's word says. Matthew 18:21 through 35. Then Peter came to him, speaking of the Lord Jesus, and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Up to seven times? Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. When he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold with his wife and children, and that all he had, and that payment be made. The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, Master, have patience with me, and I will repay you all. Then the master of the servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt. Verse 28, but that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, and he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me what you owe. So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. And he would not, but went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what had been done, they were very grieved and came and told their master all that had been done. Then his master, after he had called him, said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not have also compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you? And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due to him. And 30, verse 35, so my heavenly Father also will do to you, each of you, from his heart. Does not forgive his brother his trespasses if you do not forgive. Brother, the trespasses against you. We need to have forgiving hearts. We're thankful that God showed us compassion And even when we sin now, we can confess, and he's faithful and just to forgive and cleanse us. And then the next thing, we could think of complacency or being comfortable. Complacent means to be self-satisfied and also to be unaware of possible dangers. As I thought about my car accident, I was convinced of the fact that I had become too comfortable while driving. We are to be defensive drivers. Our next oldest granddaughter, Lydia's driving with her learner's permit right now. And I remember last time we were together, I said, you know, be a defensive driver. Be aware of what the other people are doing. Think of all the things that people do while driving. They talk on the phone, talk to passengers. They smoke, change the radio or CD. They sing, they sightsee, they eat, drink, even change clothes. Oh, and they drive. Sometimes people do several of these at one time, way too comfortable in their main focus on driving, self-satisfied with their own ability. What about our Christian walk? Can we become too comfortable, too complacent in our service for Christ? Turn to Revelation 3. I'm sure as we go to the letters to the churches, you know the one I'm going to. Revelation 3, verse 14. This is the Lord speaking, talking about the lukewarm church. It's been said that these churches represented actual churches, fellowships during that time, but also they represent church ages, and we're in the Laodicean church age, some say, even now. Revelation 3, verse 14 through 16. And to the angel of the church of Laodiceans write, these things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish that you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew or vomit you out of my mouth. And then it goes on to describe their condition. One has talked about this as being saved and satisfied. I believe that's unacceptable to our Lord if we become unusable. Again, don't be too comfortable while driving. It's not safe. But more importantly, don't become comfortable in our service to the Lord. It's not fruitful. John 15:8 says, 15:8, the Lord says, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. Also, as in the definition of complacent, it's being aware of possible danger. We could ask, how many Christians have been taken home to heaven early due to their casual attitude in their service to God, to their Lord? Remove, perhaps, instead of being a help to the cause of Christ, they were a hindrance, perhaps self-satisfied in their minimal service to God. Well, our God deserves, our Lord, our full attention, our full desires. We worship and serve him, bearing much fruit. Let us never become complacent or comfortable, especially when it comes to serving the Lord Jesus. And that brings us to faith. Romans 14:23, and I remember Durwood Robinson used to share this verse. For whatever is not from or of faith is sin. Again, I'm so thankful that we have 1 John 1:9, that we can be forgiven if we confess our sin to God, cleansed and ready to be used for his purpose. We need to believe, have the faith that this scripture is true and God will cleanse us. Turn to Hebrews 12:1.
Hebrews 12:1 says this: "Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us or besets us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us." Then verse 2 says, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith." That so great cloud of witnesses is a list we had in the previous chapter 11. It's been called the faith chapter, or the heroes of faith. And as I think about some of these folks that are mentioned, we read of bad things that happened to these good people, but God did use it for good. Think of Joseph, and Moses, and Jonah, all that they went through and how God used it for good. Of course, our greatest example is the Lord Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Through this, God offers salvation for all who would truly believe. You think the disciples of Christ, when He was here, thought Him being put to death was a good thing? No, they were devastated. They could imagine that would happen. But after His resurrection, they would understand that it was God's plan to redeem fallen man. Faith in Christ's finished work that leads to salvation for all who believe. Yes, we need to have faith in God in every situation. It's for His good, for His purpose. We may not understand the side of heaven, why something happens to us or others, but we need to pray like the early disciples. Give us faith to believe and understanding. Faith can move mountains. Christ told His disciples this in 17:20. If they have the faith as a mustard seed, which is the smallest of seeds, will move mountains. Faith can see us through any trial. Pray that our faith may increase. Again, pray for understanding and patience. That brings us to the last part, patience. You may have heard of this often used prayer, "Lord, give me patience, and please give me patience now." Isn't that funny? God answers our prayers in three ways: yes, no, or wait. Waiting's the hardest, but Psalm 37:7 says, "Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him." Let us never lose faith in God to see us through. James 1:3 says that the testing of our faith produces patience. Satan tempts us. This began in the garden and continues today. But God tests us to strengthen us, to motivate us, to prepare us to minister to others. We need to be patient and believe that there is a purpose for all things, God's purpose. The word wait is mentioned some 105-6 times in Scripture. We need to wait and see what God has in store for us, no matter what comes our way. We may ask God why, and there's nothing wrong with that. Think of the Psalms, how many poured out their heart. But when something happens that seems to us to have no good purpose in our lives, we need to remember. Perhaps it's to strengthen our faith. Perhaps we're headed in the wrong direction, as Jonah was. Perhaps we're too comfortable in our service to God, in our attitude of worship. Perhaps to humble us. Perhaps we're focused on the wrong things. We need to allow God to direct our path. I always think of Psalm 119, 105, "Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." The Lord needs to be our focus and our center. The song I sung earlier, one line was, "Our Father knows what's best for us." How many remember that old TV show, "Father Knows Best"? Our Heavenly Father truly does. And then we have Proverbs 3:5. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. So when we think of Romans 8:28, and again it says this, and we know that all things work together for good for those who love God, for those who are called according to his purpose. I could ask again, do you love God? Have you been born again from above into his eternal family? Do you know, believe, trust that everything that comes our way, either good or bad, is under God's control? That it is his will for our lives? We say that God is still on the throne and that he is sovereign. Do we truly believe it? Again, we may never know the side of heaven why something happens to us. But we can trust that God, the God of heaven, truly knows what's best for us. And as we begin this new year, 2024, we need to trust God in all things. And again, all means all, and that's all that all means. Take a hymn book, if you would. Turn number 499. 499. Trusting Jesus. Let's sing verses 1 and 4 in the refrain, and then we'll give thanks for the food. Number 499, trusting Jesus.
Simply trusting every day, trusting through a stormy way. Even when my faith is small, trusting Jesus, that is all. Trusting as the moments fly, trusting as the days go by, trusting him whatever befall. Trusting Jesus, that is all.
Verse 4.
Trusting him while life shall last, trusting him till earth be past, till within the jasper wall, trusting Jesus, that is all. Trusting as the moments fly, trusting as the days go by, trusting him whatever befall, trusting Jesus, that is all.
Dear Heavenly Father, help us to trust you more this coming new year. And no matter what you bring our way in the lives of our families or those we come in contact with, we'll seek to understand your will for the situation. No matter what happens, we know you're in control. Increase our faith to truly believe this day by day. And we're thankful that you loved us enough to send your son. You proved your love to us, and he proved his love by going to Calvary. Help us to prove our love to you by being faithful servants, putting our faith and trust in our daily walk, our daily talk, our work, where we go, what we do, what we see, what we say. Help us to look to you for all things through your word. Your word truly is a lamp to our feet, a light to our path. It guides our daily steps and guides our future. Help us to look for this truth day by day. Help us to be aware of the Spirit's leading We thank you for this earnest that you've given us, and that your Spirit will guide us into all truth. Help us to be patient and wait upon you for all things. I thank you for the ones that are here today and the ones that couldn't be for various reasons. We pray your blessings upon them. Bless us all this coming year. Bless this little fellowship. Lord, as the brothers mentioned, we pray that more will be exercised to come to the worship meeting. Lord, we come to offer up as holy priests praise of our lips. It's a wonderful privilege. Help us all to be mindful of this and encourage the ones that we don't see that they would come and experience the truth. We don't come for a blessing, but we are blessed, and we're thankful for that. We thank you now for the food that we're about to receive, for a time of fellowship together. Thank you for your provision, for all those that have prepared it, for their labors. Bless our time around the meal, and again, we're thankful for this day that you've given us. Help us this new year again look for the good in everything, no matter what it is. Lord, even if we don't understand, help us to be patient and wait upon you. So one day you'll give us that understanding why something happened or didn't happen. Bless our time together again, the food. And as we depart later on today, just bring us to our homes in safety, we pray. And again, we're thankful for your love and for this time together and your precious word as we give you thanks in our Savior's name. Amen.